7 o'clock. If we can call this meeting in order, please. Everyone rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Polk.
Here.
Pelosima.
Present.
Clocher.
Here.
Nashiski.
Here.
Frieders.
Nay. Sorry, she's practicing.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Tourless.
Here.
Hernandez.
Here.
Quorum is established.
Any amendments to tonight's agenda? Yes, sir.
I want to pull public works number six, public works 2018-14 off the consent, and public works 2018-15 number 7 off the consent.
You said 14 and which other one?
15, number 7.
Got it.
I can vote now.
Any other amendments?
Can you repeat those again?
Number 6 and number 7.
Yeah. There you go. 6 and 7.
That's 6 and 7.
Any other amendments? All those in favor of amending the agenda as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Moving on, we do have one presentation tonight. One of my favorite things to do, and that's to honor one of our local civic organizations. So we do have a presentation for the Knights of Columbus tonight. So we have a lot of knights here tonight. Who's coming up? All of you? One of you? Bill? Oh, yeah, that's fine. Not only for the community, I know you do a lot for the community, helping the needy and homebound and elderly. I think I've read, Tim gave me a little fact sheet, in the last 10 years since your inception, over 150,000 hours of community service you guys have brought. That's just incredible. And working with our Parks and Rec and the River Festival, Hometown Days, the Pumpkin Pool, you guys are there whenever we need you, so we appreciate it very much. So I would like to present the certificate of recognition. The Mayor and the City Council of the United City of York will present this certificate to the Knights of Columbus, God's Divine Mercy Council, 14463. In appreciation for their contributions to the United City of Yorkville Parks and Recreation Department and for their ongoing support and contributions to the Yorkville community. Presented on 27th day of February, 2018. I'll present that to you, sir.
Thank you.
There you go. Thank you. And I don't know if anyone wanted to say a few words about the Knights. Bill, maybe? Absolutely.
I'm Bill Mahaney. I'm the United Knights. And what you see up here is only part of the officers. We've actually got over 200 members. We put out about 14 to 18 events per year. And as Gary said, all the proceeds go to the needy and the community. We help families directly through phone calls and other organizations. We also support Special Olympics, Equity and Greens, and other organizations as well. We've got a big toy drive year over year, which is growing. We do the rips in the river, we do candy drives and all kinds of things. None of which would be possible without the help and support from the Parks and Rec Department. I just want to give a shout out to Tim Evans, Shay, Scott, Steve Redmond, TJ, and the whole crew down there that really, really support us, and we wouldn't be as successful without them putting all this stuff on. So I really want to say thank you very much, guys.
Hey, can we get another picture with Tim and Shay? Who else there? Is you two? Shay, you bring the whole family. Come on, Shay. Okay, meetings always go downhill.
So I do have a couple of public hearings. The first is on the Metronet cable franchise agreement.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
Notice is hereby given that Mayor and City Council will hold a public hearing at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 27, 2018, in the City Council boardroom of Yorkville Municipal Building, 800 Farm Road, Yorkville, Illinois, to consider the granting of an additional cable television franchise pursuant to Section 11-42-11 of the Illinois Municipal Code to Metro Fiber, LLC. Acts entering the following shall be considered: 1. The need for an additional cable television franchise. 2. The capacity of the city's right-of-way to accommodate such additional community and television services. 3. The potential disruption to users of the city's right-of-way in providing new cable television services. 4. The long-term economic impact of the additional cable television system within the city. 5. Other appropriate factors as determined by the city. At the hearing, interested persons may appear and be heard regarding the proposed franchise agreement. A copy of the proposed franchise agreement is available for review in the office of the city administrator.
Thank you, Ms. Orr. Is there someone here from Metronet that would like to speak? Please state your name for the record and sign in if you would.
Good evening, Mayor, members of council. My name is Kathy Scheller, K-A-T-H-Y-S-C-H-E-L-L-E-R. I'm in external affairs for Metronet. I've been here before and presented before council as by way of introduction of our organization, which is a fiber optic company, which provides internet, telephone, as well as cable television. We are excited to be able to bring competition to Yorkville for your residents. I think that is a very important thing, and also to be able to offer this world-class technology and infrastructure for the city.
Wonderful. Wait. Is there anyone from the public that would like to comment? Hearing none, we'll close that public hearing. And we'll go into public hearing for the construction of a shared use path along ComEd easement from Kingsmill Lane to Riverfront Park. Bart, you have anything to update us on this, sir?
We did have a couple slides. If there was anybody in the public that wanted to either make a comment or ask a question, otherwise, you know, we were going to rehash the entire
Is there anyone from the public that would like to comment on the shared use path? Or hear more information on it? If not, we'll close public hearing. Thank you. Now we'll go to citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening. Do you have anyone who wants to comment on items for the council this evening? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Nalszewski?
Aye.
Tourlis?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
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 Plocher?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular city council meeting of February 13, 2018, as presented.
So moved.
Second. Any comments or corrections on the minutes? All those in favor of approving the minutes, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, moving on to Mayor's report. I'll entertain a motion to approve a resolution approving license extension agreement with Whitewater Ice Cream Inc., 131 East Tyrell Avenue, Units A and B, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tourlis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Nalszewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I will entertain a motion to approve a settlement agreement between the city and Fidelity and Deposit Company of Maryland and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second. Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Critters?
Yay.
Cirulis?
Aye.
Pelosina?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Nay. Wyszewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Yay.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to reject the submitted bids and the support staff receiving a rebid of the project with a reduced scope.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
So the latter half of the motion is not a legal requirement to issue the bids. Our intent as a staff level would be to reduce the scope that we had previously issued to the same $1.5 million worth of roads. $65,000 for water, $65,000 for sewer, probably about $300,000 for storm. So we're optimistic that hopefully our unit prices are a little bit better off because we're in the spring, although we didn't see historical roads fall. And then potentially make some policy decisions a couple months from now after we get bids back as to which roads we want to do, what the scope is, to then further tighten our actual decision-making process. But speed is the key here. We want to make sure that we hit our bidding window as soon as possible so that we get the best prices and hopefully can do more roads than less.
Okay, nothing else, so roll call, please.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Fritters?
Aye.
Cirulis?
Aye.
Pelosina?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Wyszewski?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, under Public Works Committee report, there were a couple items that came out of consent, so I will turn that over to Alderman Fritter.
All right.
Make a motion to authorize authorization for the Kennedy Road shared use path.
Second.
Comments or questions?
Who's seconded, please?
Alderman Koch. Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Fritters?
Aye.
Cirulis?
Nay.
Pelosina?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Wyszewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, and finally, I make a motion to approve an application for the recreational trail program known as RTP Grant ComEd Fox Road Trails.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Clocher?
Aye.
Fritters?
Aye.
Cirulis?
Nay.
Pelosina?
Nay.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Wyszewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
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 Koch?
Aye.
All righty. We have no economic development or public safety committee reports. Or admin committee report. I will turn it over to Alderman Wyszewski.
Wyszewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Fritters?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Our second.
any comments or suggestions of what we can do with your staff?
Any comments from the council to start?
Can I be the wet blanket?
Yes, you may.
Whenever you talk about either tearing something down, giving something away, asking for an RFP on something, you get a whole bunch of people who don't normally participate in meetings such as these, and they're adamant that you save the jail. And like, and I wasn't being facetious when I asked this return question, but I was expecting them to assume that I was, and they're like, save the jail. Why? Number one, we haven't had people there in a very long time. Number two, any previous attempt at an RFP, the response has been, all right, we'll take it from you, and then we'll invest X amount of dollars, and we'll do something. But not really fleshed out with what the potential for the property is. There's been some interest about making part of it into like a museum of some sort, and then making the other part, you know, some sort of commercial enterprise. Whether or not that would fly, who knows? Every time that I've attempted to go see this jail, something else has come up and I've missed the opportunity. Jackie has illustrated very eloquently the current quality of the jail property. So, from my opinion, we're not doing anything with it, and I don't think it's worth saving, bless you. But I'm definitely open to, you know, opinions from the public. But I don't think that the historical quality of the jail is something that the entire jail itself should be memorialized or funds dedicated to preserve it in its rather interesting shape. So let's hear some ideas, but I'm not too excited about actually doing anything with the property as the city is concerned, but that's just me being doubting Debbie.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I would not want to put any tax dollars into rehabilitating or putting it in the property. We have budgets coming up that we talk about. We, you know, we need to be a little more responsible with our money. I mean, if somebody were to come to us and say, hey, you know, this is what I plan on doing, I'm going to put money into it, and
something needs to happen. I'm on board with the comments that are made. Tax dollars are not. Yeah, it's a shame. I do love the old building, you know, but I agree with everything that was said.
Plus there are. I think there is a spot you can go into now, safety-wise. So you won't be able to.
Well, the answer is simple. If this building was privately owned, we would be citing it every day. Right?
Yes.
We would be up there every day putting a sign out in front of this building, every single day. So, you know, we can't even follow our own rules as a municipality.
Hi, so what?
No.
What's the suggestion?
So there was a two-part suggestion coming up at the committee. One was to talk about it tonight to gauge everybody else's temperature on ultimate use of the direction. The second recommendation was to bring the agenda item back to the end of the committee next month, along with the draft, either RFP or RFI. So something that would signal to the community, you know, we're open to selling it, we're opening. Open to leasing it, to repurposing it, but more with non-city funds. So, you know, we've already done the RFP once, so if that's the direction of the city council at a later date, that's easy to do. We can turn that around very quickly. If it's something more open-ended and concept-driven, then it might take another month. But we'll have a couple different options to choose from at the committee.
Why don't we turn down that first RFP, the bid we got?
I didn't go back and look at the minutes to see if there was a formal rejection or we threw it into due diligence and then it just never came out of it a few months later either through, you know, private offer going out from the city just deciding not to do it. So I didn't see why. I still didn't have to move forward.
Okay.
I know when you last did the RFPs or whatever, somebody offered you a dollar. You, under state statutes, cannot take less than 80% of its appraised value. They don't let you give away city-owned land. And that's probably a good thing, because who knows who you're going to give it to. You know, might give it to somebody's cousin or something. So you need to get money back for the money spent. And like I said, $160,000, I'm pretty sure, of taxpayers' dollars was used to purchase this from the county. Now, I was around when the big discussion was on the courthouse. And the county board at that time, there were a lot of people on the county board who didn't want to stay in the courthouse on the top of the hill. And when Denny Hastert came in with the funding, some of them were not super happy. But I believe, and this is my own personal belief, that these kinds of buildings are helping to identify who Yorkville is. If you take out all the historic buildings in our downtown, what do we have? We just have a bunch of stores, and like any other community, but we are the county seat of Kendall County. And that old courthouse, when you look up at the hill, overlooks our whole city. And it's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. And it's something that Oswego doesn't have, Plano doesn't have. It's Yorkville. And that's who Yorkville is. And I think that you could be a little more creative and look at some ideas like if somebody will renovate the outside, they could turn it into a restaurant. You don't have to have it be totally, you know, pristine inside the way it used to be. It could be some commercial facility. But you could rent it for 99 years for $5. You know, you could do something like that, and they could fix it up, and they could have a great, unusual place that would add something to our downtown. And this is an idea, you know, and I kind of tried to avoid coming into City Hall and not, you know, harming you with why I did this and why I did that, but there were some good reasons for why we did what we did, and I would love to see somebody make a good use of that building. But I would really caution you before you, you know, hire somebody to tear it down to make sure that you're not going against what the grant said, because it was a historic preservation grant. So I just want to give you some background. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? So this conversation will be continued back at admin committee? Okay. Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you're looking at some commercial ventures, you know, anything. I mean, it's wide open. I mean, we're open to any suggestions. So, yes?
One thing we kind of touched upon was the store, kind of way back. Was there opening when she worked on the courthouse. That building is historic, but part of the new addition is a detriment to its historic value.
Yeah, we had talked about that a little bit, and I didn't do any follow-up since then. So my interpretation is that there's nothing preventing us legally from tearing it down. The grants were actually twofold. One was from IDOT for acquisition of the empty lot to the north of the building, and then the second grant, the tourism type grant for construction or development of a city museum, and neither of which had historic preservation issues with it. So there hasn't been anything that's come up in the past several years in regards to the historic preservation. So depending on the voluntary programs and grants, it may make it more or less attractive if the garage is not part of the overall building. But my direction at the last meeting, again, that I followed up on, was that because the newer part is actually in less good quality, that's the really problematic area, that there might be either structural issues or just, you know, no value in renovating that at all. Because there's nothing architecturally significant about it. So it's all the old part of the
gym. If we somehow had that move off of there, are there, I guess, I haven't done research on this, are there grants still out there for, you know, historical preservation of it?
Yeah, and I didn't do any research on the last one. My statement at the committee meeting was I'm not aware of any, nothing has come up.
Yeah, totally, the budget's
I'd like to go back and clarify the vote on the mayor's report, number 2A, settlement agreement. Was it all ayes except Funkhauser was nay? The Cloture, were you aye? I just want to make sure. Okay, is that correct? Okay, thank you.
Any community and liaison reports? Staff reports?
Just one item, Your Honor. We do have our downtown survey open, which has a surprising number of responses so far. So that's great news. That's generated a lot of activity. The website is downtownyorkville.com/survey. So it's a really good survey. It's pretty short. It asks you who you are, what are your preferences for downtown aesthetics, gives you a couple of good options, and will be a great resource for us as you finalize the overlay history.
Nice. Okay. All right, with that, we'll go to the budget presentation.
Water fund is actually relatively stable, and over the long term, only 25% fund balance. We looked at it this year, we did the budget proposal and said, why do we have all this money sitting in the sewer fund, especially if we're diverting non-local sales taxes in there, if we have debt service and projects and operational issues in other funds, so we need to fix that. So we've said the sewer fund is stable. We can basically put that at 25% immediately, and we'll get into how we're doing in a few minutes. Revenue growth, we've been talking about admin for the past couple months. Some of our major revenue sources are not meeting their expectations. So that's something that we have the benefit of months of warning and observation in order to make decisions down the road. And then again, we still do have a lot of capital projects planned over a five-year period, particularly at the water and sewer fund. So just giving you a snapshot here of the general fund again. So this is the five-year budget proposal from fiscal year 19 forward. So again, that's a surplus deficit amount. So if you just look at the general fund, we are not proposing a break-even or surplus budget in any of the 5 years within the general fund. But that's been actually the way we've done it for the past couple years. So through conservative budgeting, we've just said, you know, we've had a healthy fund balance in the past. We need to either draw that down or we're just not going to count our, you know, positive financial outlook before it hatches. So again, 30% targeted through fiscal year 21, but it is going to be weighed down a little bit. So this is a chart you should remember from the audit. It talks about what happened prior to the recession. We thought that we had a massive fund balance. It was offset by bond proceeds. It was much lower than we expected. Then we had some bad debt issues. Then we actually ran a negative fund balance, which for a couple years was pretty interesting. And then going forward, we've significantly reduced our fund deficits. Some of that was rec center. Some of it was Countryside TIF before we had the hotel come along. And so our $3 or $4 million general fund balance had not been as high as we had expected just because of those funds that are tied to the general fund. So I'm going to take this chart, and I've squished it to the left here. So it's the same thing I just highlighted. So it's the same shape. So now we're going to overlay our five-year budget projections, so out to fiscal year 23. So this is without addressing any fund deficits or anything else. So, you know, we've shown this for the past few years that we're eventually going to draw these things down, and we need to monitor this and be conservative with our revenues and expenditures so that hopefully we can continue to reverse this slide, which we've been doing for the past two or three years. So the fund deficits is different from last year to this year. So Countryside, we're making a $700,000 payout to the hotel, assuming it's done this year. So that's an impact in fiscal year 19. And then on top of that, we made the policy decision to take the opportunity to buy the downtown bank building. So the impact of that is slower because it is $200,000 in debt service on a short-term loan each year. But it does add up and has an impact. And if nothing else happens in the downtown TIF, that's going to continue to weigh on us each year in the future. So the projection is going to be, and we'll get into it a little bit, Countryside is basically solved. That is looking very good in a five-year period and beyond. And even if nothing else develops after the hotel, we're in pretty good shape there. We might even be able to close it out, which is great. Downtown is now in the position that Countryside was a few years ago. So that's why we're going through our TIF 1 and TIF 2 extensions and trying to move that along. So moving on from general fund, water fund again is strong. So with a lot of projects, no rate increases in fiscal year 19 proposed. We're proposing to bottom out for a couple years while we do these projects. But then in fiscal year 22, 23, debt service fall off to the extent where fiscal year 23 are above 60% without an issue. So that gives us a lot of room either for water study related projects, Fox River intake, if we end up going to Lake Michigan, any of these things, we'll have money socked away for those types of expenses. Sewer fund, we talked about this. Last year's budget projection had a slow slide down to about 25% in fiscal year 22. We looked at that again and said there's no reason for the sewer fund to have all this money, especially if there are no, if all of our capital projects are fully funded, which we'll get into in R. So we've said stop dumping non-home rule sales taxes into the sewer fund. Let's use that in the debt service fund, the citywide capital fund, and to a certain extent, in some years, the general fund. So again, all this put together, this is our aggregate city fund balance that we're monitoring and making decisions on in hopes that this fiscal year 19 and fiscal
Indian farm, which was, you know, $4 or $5 million, Countryside, which was $4 or $5 million. So those are big one-time things that we've had to do with fund. But we have so many different moving parts within so many different funds that it gives us a lot of flexibility budget-wise if we ever hit to a point where we say we just need to stop for a little bit on these projects. So park construction related to grants, park construction related to receipt of land cash impact fees, which is great. All of our expansion on state highways is fully funded within a five-year budget, which is not something that we could say 5-6 years ago. We were trying to figure out how we were going to fund all that. So but we've been very successful in managing to knock off these obligations each year as it goes along. We did put the well 7 standby generator in the budget last year, but we've actually firmed that up a little bit, and there's no reason that we should be stopping that. And that is really a great piece of security for the water supply for residents going forward. So fiscal year 21, we've got all of our highway projects, and then we've got road better roads. We do have sewer scheme system planning, and then we did put Beecher Park replacement in there too. So a lot of these unfunded mandates are getting knocked off. So again, this is what we're looking at long term. So some of this is good because we've sold bonds and we've collected impact fees and user fees in order to do major capital projects. So, you know, when we're at $12 million, I mean, a fair amount of that is earmarked for projects. So it's good that we're spending it down and completing projects. Okay, so on to our items of note section. And so I'll hit each one of these briefly. They are all in the memo, again. Purchasing manager savings report. For saving money, that tally doesn't include any soft costs. So it's actually higher than that. It's just harder to quantify. We've talked about it at the committee level. We've actually talked about it at city council. Oswego is saving lots more money than we are. They have an existing bond outstanding for their police station construction. So one of the projects from the purchasing manager was to just delay payment to 60 days on invoices. So they are gaining interest. So that's a significant savings as a result of her initiatives. So we are proposing to continue that for 5 more years. Bond refinancing, none scheduled, but we'll see what pops up. Property taxes, we approved a couple months ago. It is a 2.1% increase from last year to this year, but that's okay because we left money on the table related to inflation. And so it should be flat as long as your property didn't go up greater than 2.1% in value. Downtown TIF, we've been talking about that for months. TIF 1 extension is in flux, at least as far as timeline goes, due to the county's vote, and then we're actually negotiating back and forth with school district staff on a proposal for the TIF 2 TIF 1 extension. And then TIF 2 is up for consideration. There's a public hearing 2 weeks from now. That'll be end of March, early April, for an actual vote. Again, we talked about capital projects. There's a lot in there. The actual dollar amount is going down, but we're completing a larger impact throughout the community. And we are funding a lot more projects in water and sewer funds. So Road to Better Roads, we talked about as a catch-up here. So we have a couple projects here and there. And then we're proposing to do a complete pavement scan in fiscal year 18. So that's in the budget. And then we'll propose a five-year program after that. So unfunded capital projects, this is some good news here. Sewer SCADA system has been in the budget. We knocked that off this year. We're proposing it in fiscal year 22. So that will allow us to monitor sewer and pump station issues in our infrastructure system that now have to be checked basically by physical site. So Beecher Park Playground has been an issue. That's in there too. And Mill Road, one of our highest unfunded capital projects in probably $1 or $2 million, and it's not in the budget memo because we don't have a proposal yet. The developer for the Grand Reserve subdivision has told us that they have the project budgeted at their cost for immediate construction, and so we are working on a funding agreement and an operations and management agreement with them to be able to bring that in front of you in the next month or two. So that was something that was a significant issue just because of the deterioration of the road crossing there, and the developer has said, we know this is our obligation, we want to get it done and move on to other things in the subdivision, so we want to do this now, which is a huge deal. So a little bit of counting chickens before they hatch there, but hopefully within the next month or two that'll be in front of city council. So we didn't include that in the budget. Water rates, we're at the end of a five-year planned rate increase. Last year was flat, this year is flat too. We are proposing proposing 5% aggregate growth that can come through growth or a rate increase in fiscal year 20 and beyond. I'm at loss. We've been talking about that each year over the past 4 years. The budget memo says $15,000. I think the day after I release the budget memo, we get another $15,000 from INET, so that number is up to $30,000, which is good. Litigation is ongoing. There's been some articles about the person who's been arrested for fraud trying to leave the country, and the feds got him. So that's been the news a little bit, too. City Council goals. We didn't go into that in depth in the memo because we did our action plans. So generally, everything that's in there from a proposal perspective is carried throughout. Timing, we'll have an update for you probably towards the end of the fiscal year, just on RFPs and all these other things. Building inspection load was higher than it's ever been in recent history for Yorkville last year. We did beat most of our neighbors for a number of inspections, but we're actually hearing from builders and developers that there's a little bit of softening demand due to the build program expiring. That some of the local builders don't have as many lots to choose from, and then just in general, they're a little bit more pessimistic than they were in Yorkville a year ago. And some of that is just because we built 152 single-family homes, which beat everybody else in the region, and then there were another 60 multifamily units. So there was a significant spike in supply that we didn't even project. So some of that is just going to be a market correction. So, accordingly, we haven't proposed any plan reviewers or building inspectors within the five-year budget, but we have the ability to share services and outsource if needed. Engineering department cost analysis, this has not changed actually from the audit, so those are the same figures we're recommending to still outsource for the five-year period. The $250,000 from the Crystal Bay Regional Park sale is still sitting in the citywide capital fund in reserve until we make a decision on what we're doing. The build program, just as an item of note, is closed, so you can apply for a new one. But the program allowed you to construct the home over a year, and then you issue the payment when the new person moves in. So you will still see that show up on the bill list from time to time. And so we haven't really made any revenue assumptions that are a major impact in this year, just because that's still going away. And then after 20, we get somewhat conservative revenue assumptions. Land cash, after we close out Riverfront, Bristol Bay, we have a decision to make with about $300,000 in unobligated land cash funds. So the existing proposal will be for completion of Riverfront, which is a regional park, Bristol Bay Regional Park, for some parking lots, and other things that will make the park more usable. We're having Kathy review those to make sure that that's legal. We have to go through and do some allocations in developments that have given us those funds to make sure that that's okay. So that's something that will be in the next couple. We did put in the municipal facilities master plan in there. We did spread it out over two fiscal years. That gives us time to draft the RFP, to do our due diligence on a non-accelerated timeline. And then, quite frankly, if the budget projection ends up turning out as true, it would give us plenty of time to be able to defer that project if we had to. So that is there over two fiscal years. And then the sewer fund, we talked about that a little bit. We have million-plus in non-homeable sales taxes that are currently being shipped into the fund for the Robertway sewer bond from years ago. We're meeting that with user fees, with sewer infrastructure fees, and all of our capital projects are funded. So we said, why don't we stop pushing that much money into the sewer fund, use it to pay off our in-town road program bond from 2004, that we're still paying off. Game farm debt service, limited amount of countryside debt service, Route 47 debt service. So there's other debt service elsewhere that we can fund for the majority of those 5 years. Okay, so that's all of our items to note. Within the small picture, again, the budget memo gets into more detail than I'm going to get into here. I'm just going to hit a couple of the high points. If anybody has any questions about individual line items, we can run reports. We can answer questions. That can be done really at any time, just with a simple email to me. So, property taxes is good news in that even with our 2.1% increase, our police pension performance has actually been ahead of schedule, which has reduced that sub levy. So, we decreased our contribution into the police pension fund by $3,000 from last year to the year prior. That had been the sub-levy in years past that had been going. going up 15-20% some years, and was eating up a large portion of our corporate levy. So the fact that that isn't not only not increasing 20%, but it's actually decreasing, is a benefit to the general fund. So that gets into the property taxes for that line item there too. Sales tax, again, we've talked about that admin really is our big leader. So from fiscal year 16 to fiscal year 17, we saw just under 6% year-over-year growth, which is much more than we had expected, and an indicator of residential growth in the area picking up. The economy is strengthening. So we increased our annual revenue growth assumptions from 2% to 3%, and so now, since we're at 0.8%, I think, year-to-date from year-over-year, we're going to revise that back downward to 1.5%. Our next benchmark will actually come next week when our holiday sales report is filed with the state. So we'll know whether we had a good year, bad year, both non-normal sales taxes and regular sales taxes. And we'll be able to make some decisions as to whether that number is going to continue to underperform our budget estimates. So that's something to think about. And 1.5% when we decrease that on an annual basis is a loss in the early years of only $150,000 to the budget. But in the later years, it's $300,000 or $400,000, which is significant. So if that doesn't turn around either through growth or just, you know, online sales taxes being figured out here by the federal or the state government in the next few months, it could be an impact to us. Hotel tax, we didn't increase any, didn't budget any increase simply because we didn't know how much in transfer sales would go between our existing hotels. But then also 90% of whatever we receive ends up going to the tourism bureau, so there's not that impact on the budget. State income taxes are other major revenue source to watch. So it's about $1.5 million, so less than sales tax, which is good. It is per capita based, comes through the state. So the good news is that we're going to see an increase because we've added 2,000 new residents from the last time we did a census. So that's a significant increase in revenue each year. But on the bad news, the state economy and the state receipts are a little bit underperforming those expectations. So that's something to watch. But then also, the state, when they fixed their budget issues last year, accelerated the payments by 2 months. So we're now, as they come in, basically, we get those revenues. But they cut our distribution on a monthly basis by 10%. So we still got the same amount of cash over a 12-month period. But because we use an accrual basis of accounting, we can't book 14 months of revenue in a 12-month period. So it ends up being a budgetary loss of about $50,000. So that's something to just watch, depending on what the state is going to do with their budget and the election here in the next year. Good news, building permits, we said were up, inspections were up. So that's great, because that's revenue, but it's one-time revenue. And that's an issue we used to have with socking that away in our general fund. Okay, on to expenses. Just across the board, all departments, there really isn't much that's changed from last year's budget proposal to this year. Salaries, we've got the union contracts in there. We do have the compensation plan, which will be reviewed at the admin committee next month. So we budgeted for that, just on the off chance that that gets approved. So we're trying to be conservative there. Health insurance at 8%, the IMRF employer contribution with modest increases. IMRF actually had a really good year. They had some good return on investments, so our contribution might actually go down in the future. So that's something to watch, too, that could be a little bit of a savings for us. We still have tuition reimbursement is already approved for our employee policy being held. Training, similar budget amounts to the prior years. Conservative growth in fuel, electricity, natural gas, if there are any costs for the buildings. Professional services throughout all departments are listed out in a pretty good summary in the memo. But again, that's kind of your catch-all for outsourced things. We can roll a report if anybody wants that. No new staff across all departments. And then we did have computer replacement. Our IT consortium recommended 3 years for laptop, 4 years for computer. Whether we actually get there for replacement is a different story, but we're at least budgeting for it. So there are, I think, $40,000 or $50,000 worth of computers in the fiscal year 19 budget, which then decreases each year going forward as we get replacements in schedule. The one big project in the departments is the Unified Development Ordinance, which is a modification of your subdivision control ordinance, which is the mechanism that developers use to develop in the city. hasn't been touched since, I think, 2002. Needs to be updated so it's both clearer and fairer to developers and easier for us to administer this work process. So that's something, it's $100,000, is what we're budgeting between two fiscal years. Similar to the Municipal Facilities Master Plan, we would propose to go out to RFP, do the due diligence to select somebody, and then if the budget proposal ends up being a little bit in line with, or if it is in line with what we expected, we would then defer that at a later date. And then admin services, again, purchasing manager continuing. Facilities manager, we are hiring right now, so that job posting is outstanding. We've got second interviews 2 weeks from now. So that is in there for a 5-year period. Got the GC Housing Rental Assistance Program, which should be awarded to 3 recipients here in the next month or so. Wrigley's utility tax, so for the Skittles factory, we did the incentive agreement. Amusement tax rebate for Kendall Crossing, which we have done for the theater. KenCom dues increase, which we actually approved tonight's agenda. And that's both on the operations side, that increase, and the new world agreements that we approved at the prior meeting. And then an IT contract hours increase. So we pay for 8 hours of IT services per week with Oswego, and Oswego pays 32 hours to our IT vendor. And the contracts are drafted such that there's flexibility in the week. We've done an analysis in the past year. It's been 50-50. So Yorkville's been paying 8 hours and been getting about 20 hours of service and probably needs a little bit more than that. And Oswego has been getting 20 hours and has been paying for about 30. So there will be some reconciliation that occurs on our end here in the next month or so. But then we looked at that and said, with all the projects that we have going on IT-wise, we need to increase that hours. And obviously this is an example of it. So just heads up, that's coming forward. And then admin services. We talked about the transfer of the non-portable sales taxes to the sewer funds. So that's reflected here in the admin services line item. Two transfer line items. One to debt service, so that's going to go up because we're paying in-town road program debt service with our non-portable sales taxes. And then the transfer to the sewer is going to decrease because we're using that to pay debt service elsewhere. So after all that, in the general fund, that's what you're looking at for fiscal year 19 dollar. Again, the $335,000 deficit plan is similar to what we've approved, I think, each year of the past 2 years, and is okay because we think that we're being conservative with our revenues and expenditures, and that number will reverse itself by the end of the year. So getting into the other funds, quickly, Fox Hill, Sunflower, the levies that we've already approved in December, the projects that we've talked about, management contracts, entrance signs, those are all included in there, all subdivisions. Motor fuel tax, the big change here, we are continuing to draw it down, which is what you're supposed to use motor fuel taxes for. We shifted salt, street signs, a couple other line items out of the MFT fund, put it in the general fund, and then we did all of our Road to Better Roads projects for the next year going forward in MFT. So it's a little bit easier for us to administer a road project than it is to do resolutions for salt and street signs and all the other things. So that was more of a staff. Citywide Capital Fund, we are showing that the road infrastructure fee needs to be reinstated each year for the next 5 years. But we do have a municipal facilities plan. We have a modest, either medium-sized fueling station for our vehicles, or maybe a couple mobile ones at different facilities. Our purchasing manager is saying that that return on investment will actually be realized after 2 years. So that was a no-brainer. We needed to do that as soon as possible. And then a lot of capital projects throughout. Vehicles, one police car, public works trucks are not in this fund anymore. We actually looked at the trucks that need to be replaced. Each year in the next 5 years, there will be water and sewer trucks. So we said, since those are the ones, we're going to push that into the water and sewer fund. So we've done that. And then the fund balance for the Parks and Recreation Facility specifically too. Debt service, I mentioned, there are no non-abated property taxes, so we're not putting any of the debt service payments anywhere in the budget on property taxes. But then additionally, instead of paying for our old in-town road program bond from the general fund and impacting operations, we said, why don't we use non-local sales taxes to pay for that? So that transfers in there too. Water fund, the good news is that not only were water sales better than expected for the third year in a row, so that's compounding, but we're still projecting the water rate should stay flat. We're not recommending a change in the water infrastructure fee, I think is $4 per month. And we still have a lot of capital projects in there. So from a housing start perspective, we are estimating only 120 new housing starts this year, which would be down from 152, is what we saw in 2017, and then slightly lower just to be conservative in fiscal year 20 plus. We still have all of our water study, land acquisition, cat iron, and media exchanges, which we haven't talked about yet, well rehabs, and then expansion projects. Sewer rates, we've got our rates approved in there from last year of the 5-year schedule, so we'll have to revisit those next year. We do need to keep the sewer infrastructure fee in place to be able to fund things like the SCADA system, which is proposed for fiscal year 22. And then again, we're choosing to accelerate the drawdown of those fund balances immediately to 25% of fiscal year 19. Landcast, we're going to close out Riverfront, Bristol Bay, so that's going to leave us with a little bit of extra revenue for other projects. Windham Ridge, we've been getting impact fees in. Caledonia has been building. We've been getting impact fees in there. So we are tentatively planning parks for fiscal year 19 and for 2020 in those two subdivisions. The Blackberry Creek Nature Preserve is generally at the west end of Grand Reserve. It's paths and a parking lot. It needs to be constructed per our Osler grant from a couple years ago. Parks and Recreation Fund, not much to say there other than Tim continues to do a good job of gaining enrollment, raising revenues, cutting expenditures. So they've been significantly meeting expectations on the size of ledger over the past couple years. So nothing new there other than we're trying to, you know, to expand the program. Okay, last two funds here. Countryside. So I mentioned that this is not much of an issue for us. When we pay the $700,000 to the hotel developer, assuming they open their doors at the end of this calendar year, the fund will be in deficit and will compound the negative fund equity immediately in fiscal year 19. So it's going to look upside down. But the hotel, the banking facility, our conservative estimates are that not only are they going to right-side that in fiscal year 20 with a partial year's property tax payment, but that in fiscal year 21, when you have a full year, it's going to completely get rid of the debt service, the fund balance issues, and elsewhere. So it should go neutral. The entire fund should be neutral by the end of our budget cycle, hopefully. And the TIF doesn't close out until fiscal year 2029. Our debt service actually extends for a couple years beyond that, but it's a manageable debt service payment, so we're actually thinking that we can probably just prepay that and put it in escrow, and that it won't be an issue. So the even better news is that there are still three outlots that have been undeveloped there. So if you get a modest fast food restaurant or a sit-down restaurant or even just another multi-tenant office building, that's all good news for the fund. And would allow us to potentially even close it down even earlier. So that, as far as city council decisions go, is off our table for a 5-year period. It's the first year in a long time we've been able to say that, so that's really exciting. Downtown TIF fund is the opposite. So because we chose to strike the opportunity to buy the downtown bank building, and then we're paying that debt service off, if there are no new projects within the downtown TIF 1 fund, that'll be something that we'll have to reckon with. In 13 years when the TIF fund closed. So our focus has been and will continue to be to draw medium-sized, large projects, even just small rehabs throughout the downtown TIF to be able to generate revenue that will offset that fund balance issue ongoing. So, but in the meantime, it takes a couple years to build something, get on the property tax rolls. We're still paying our debt service, which is a short-term loan for the downtown bank building, $200,000 per year. It's going to cause you to have, you know, $1 million plus, approaching $2 million a year of a fund balance equity issue that's just a drag on the general fund. So that's something that we're hopeful that if TIF 2 gets created and there's a major project there, or if somebody's able to do something in TIF 1 that generates it, or if we can extend it, that'll spur a couple of people to act, and then a couple moderate sized projects will turn around the fund in full. Last and not least, we did put downtown TIF 2 in the budget. It's $6,000 of expenditure for the formation of it. So for some reason we voted down, or we just don't approve it, that fund can just be scrapped for the entire budget. So that's it. I missed my target by 3 minutes, and for that I apologize. Our budget schedule again, presentation tonight, public hearing 2 weeks from now, and then debate. special approval, you've got three full meetings without a public hearing on it in March and April. As always, the full budget proposal, PDF, and then even our Excel spreadsheet is available on the website right there in case anybody wants to take a look at it for themselves. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions for Bart at this point?
I heard him and I was like, okay, was he joking or was it real or what? Okay.